Shalom, this is Billy Brim in the Voice of One Witness radio broadcast, and I'm going to get to do this week what I've been wanting to do, and that is take you through God's calendar, because part of it has been fulfilled, and part of it has not been fulfilled. It is the calendar of redemption. God, when he brought the Jews out of Egypt, just about this time of year, in the springtime, he brought them out of being slaves. And on that first Passover, regarding that Passover, he said in the 12th chapter of Exodus, when he's instituting and telling them how to do the lamb and its blood, he says in Exodus 12, "And Jehovah spoke unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you." The Jewish people had been keeping track of time since God spoke this to Moses. The responsibility of keeping track of years and of time, they accepted. Now, he goes into detail about that calendar and about the year, because the year is a cycle in God's planning. And in the 23rd chapter of the book of Leviticus, we shall see God's calendar. This is the sacred calendar of the history of redemption. It foretells and sets forth the great plan of redemption. Now, chapter 23, verse 1. "And Jehovah spoke unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, Concerning the moeds is the word." King James says feasts, but it's moeds, and it means appointed times. These are days in the calendar year that you are to circle, so to speak. They are appointed for God's use, and they are appointed for note. You notice these days. "Concerning the moeds of Jehovah, which you shall proclaim to be holy convocations, these are my moeds." Verse 3, "6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day is the Shabbat of rest and holy convocation. You shall do no work therein. It is the Shabbat of the Lord in all your dwellings." Now I'm going to be reading to you, and we're going to be going through a book by David Barron called Types, Psalms, and Prophecies. David Barron was born in 1855 in Russia, raised in the best rabbinical schools, knew and studied Hebrew and all of these things as a Jew, but then later on he became a believer in the Lord Jesus. And I'm going to be reading to you from his book, The Calendar of the History of Redemption, and commenting on it as we go. He says that we may title this the sacred calendar of the history of redemption. For not only are each of these moeds or feasts or special assemblies, appointed seasons, that's what moeds means, of meeting between the Lord and his people, as the Hebrew word says, the moedei of Jehovah, the appointed times of Jehovah, considered separately, they are full of emblems and spiritual teaching. But taken together, they form a series of striking symbolic prophecies. I said prophecies. Some are already fulfilled. At that time, they had not been fulfilled. They were all prophetic. Some are yet to be fulfilled. And I really believe that we can see a lot of things in the unfulfilled feast that will give us light on the coming of the Lord. These dates foretell as well as set forth the great plan of redemption. It is beautifully supposed by some that Israel's feasts represent the course of time, this earth's days from creation to the end of these days. The lamb slain Passover begins it, and the eighth day of the happy Feast of Tabernacles is its close. While the Sabbath, the rest, God's rest in himself and his creatures rest around him, precedes and follows this course of time. This beautiful supposition will grow into a certainty to every intelligent and devout student of Scripture, who cannot but find accumulating evidence as he proceeds that these feasts These moeds, like Israel's ceremonial and ritual in general, are not of man's origination, but they are appointed and ordered by Him who is infinite in knowledge and who knows the end from the beginning. For these rites and ceremonies must, every one of them, be regarded as predictions of those things they typify. Every well-established type is an instance of fulfilled prophecy. And when we view them all combined, we have a congress of prophecies manifestly fulfilled and affording an amount of accumulated evidence which must be convincing to any candid mind. In all the necessary elements of prophetic evidence, the argument derived from these types is remarkably certain. Their antiquity or priority in point of time to their antitypes is undoubted. It is admitted on all hands. Just think of how long ago, how long before Jesus died the lamb on the cross, it was foretold by Moses and the little Passover lambs. Bless the Lord. They were celebrated by successive generations, all these moeds, these feasts. I still go to Israel and I still enjoy celebrating Passover with families there. For centuries before these things were answered unto, they appeared to human observation. Their fulfillment also is quite certain, equally certain. We compare the antitypes with the types and find them that they answer the one to the other in an immense variety of particulars. Think about it, how many years it was between that first Passover when it was instituted and when they came out of there, out of Egypt. God said, you do this every year. You remember this every year, as long as time is. And then how long it was until Jesus was the lamb on that tree. And how we still celebrate. They still celebrate Passover because they're told to. And we celebrate resurrection. At that moed that God appointed, He prophesied it. It became fulfilled. But just as surely as that was fulfilled, the Feast of Trumpets will be fulfilled. The Day of Atonement will be fulfilled over in the autumn. And the great Feast of Tabernacles will be fulfilled. There are the fulfilled feasts of the spring, and there are the unfulfilled feasts of the autumn. And we're going to look at those as we study God's redemptive calendar. Now, there are seven. Seven is a mark of time. God ordained time. He cut a piece out of eternity, measured it out for His dealings with man, and called it time. And time will last as long as its usefulness to God in redeeming man. So there are seven, and as you look at time, and you can really see time and see how it's divided and divided by sevens in God's calendar in Leviticus chapter 23. And then you'll want to go to Leviticus 25 when you study the years and the jubilees, and you'll find everything's marked by sevens. The first moed on God's calendar is the Sabbath. Sabbath itself even comes from seven. Before He gave the annual occasions of Jehovah's meetings with His people at the moeds, at the feast time, He gave a reiteration of the command in reference to the weekly seventh day Sabbath. 6 days shall work be done, but on the seventh day is the Sabbath of rest and holy convocation. You shall do no manner of work. It is a Sabbath unto Jehovah in all your dwellings. The weekly Sabbath was appointed by God as a prophecy and as a pledge. It was indeed instituted in the first instance as a memorial of God's finished work in creation, because in it He had rested from all His work, which God created and made. And in Israel, subsequently, it was appointed by God, not only as a perpetual testimony to Himself as the Creator, but in addition as a weekly memorial of their redemption from the bondage of Egypt. From that day, He commanded them to keep their Sabbaths. And in the New Testament, we hear from Jesus, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. God knew that we needed a day to rest, and that day is the Sabbath. The days, this is something that is Bible prophecy teachers know, that since Adam until the coming of the Lord, it will be 6 days, 1,000 years being a day and a day being 1,000 years. This is the very ancient division of the course of time into a week of millenniums. A week of millenniums. A week has 7 days, and a week of millenniums has 1,000 years to a day. Actually, this came back with Moses and the oral law, that there were 6,000 years and then 1,000 years. So these 6 days, a day being 1,000 years, are divided into three parts. The first 2,000 years were the years without the law. The next 2,000 years under the law, And then that's the middle days. Then the last days, 2,000 years, the day of Messiah. And we know that Jesus, the Messiah, did come at the first of the last 2 days, and then he'll come again at the last of the last 2 days. But the last day of the earth seven is called Shabbat or Sabbath. And that is what is coming. That will be the next stage we go into. We will end this time as we know it right here. And then we will begin the new creation. It will be, it will celebrate his resurrection, the seventh day Sabbath of the old creation expired, transmitting its sanctity and its privilege to the new Sabbath, the first day which became our day of rest in the power of a new creation. Surely a new Sabbath day befits those of whom such things can be spoken. There was a Sabbath at the beginning, and then there's going to be, of all the feasts, he lines out all the feasts here, and then there's going to be the Sabbath at the end when there is that 1,000 years. The Jews, of course, they worshiped always on the seventh day, which is Saturday. But we, from the new creation, we find out that Jesus, you see, there's a Sabbath at the beginning of this calendar. Then there's the 7,000 years at the end. The church moved into a new beginning, you might say. And things for us began on the eighth day, or 7 plus 1. Jesus was raised from the dead on the first day of the week. And then we find that when the disciples were gathered, they were gathered together taking communion on the first day of the week. They're told to save their offerings and bring them on the first day of the week. So for the church, we're in the new Sabbath, which is a type of the new seventh day, eighth day after the seventh day rest that this work is going on. So the first thing God spoke to them on this calendar were those 7 days. But we're going to see tomorrow, we're going to begin talking about Passover. And Passover's in our very near future now. So many wonderful things to see in it, in the Word of God. We hope you can come and be with us at our annual Holy Ghost meeting with Joe Jordan and Ron Smith. Go online to billybrim.org and find out about it. These old saints of God know how to move in the Holy Ghost. Call us at 1-800-972-3447. Shalom.